This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Heart, mind, and strength. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Catholic psychotherapist and author Dr. Gregory Popcheck and his wife and co-author Lisa Popcheck. Every weekday at this time, Greg, Lisa, and friends help you find faith-filled answers to questions about marriage, parenting, and the people who drive you nuts. So join us for the next hour as we explore how to love and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength.
Love you, Lord, with my heart, mind, and strength. I will live your word with my heart.
Hello there, everybody. You are listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I am your host, Catholic psychotherapist, author, Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Greg's co-host, Catholic family life coach, Lisa Popcheck.
Lots of exciting things coming up on this hour of Heart, Mind, and Strength. The most exciting thing, of course, will be you joining the conversation at 877-573-7825. We are excited to be here with you talking about the stuff that will help you live a more joyful, faithful, passionate, peaceful, abundant life. If you are being held back because of difficulties in your marriage, with your kids, problems in your personal life, your spiritual life, your physical relationship with your spouse, whatever it is that's holding you back from experiencing that joyful, abundant life that living in Christ calls us to, call us at 877-573-7825, and we'll give you the tools, the support, the encouragement, the techniques that you need to start changing things up. Pick up the phone, give us a holler. 877-573-7825.
One more day of your week. You can do it. Day and a half, right? You can make it through, unless you feel like the weekend that's about to hit you is going to hit you over the head like more of a board than your week already is. And if that's the case, we don't want you to feel that way. We want to help you straighten out those circumstances, fix those relationships, or feel better about your relationship with God so that when Sunday morning comes, you're thinking, hey, this really is the best day of the week. You're not feeling that tension of not living in right order with God or not having your family feel like they're all in unity with God and celebrating God's day together. That can be really heartbreaking when that day of the week rolls around and something isn't quite right. Let us help you out today so you can enter the weekend with joy and celebrate the Lord's Day with real passion, real purpose, and real happiness.
Also, we've been talking a lot this week about going back to school. Many folks in our listening area have kids who have gone back to school or will be going back fairly soon. Because of that, today we are continuing that theme and going to be discussing 9 non-medical ways to treat ADHD. So if you're looking for either alternatives to or complements to medication treatment for ADHD, stick around. We've got 9 different things that you can do to try to address that issue. Because, you know, even when your child is on medication, and there are some situations, of course, that do require medication. I don't mean to imply that that medication is evil. Certainly not. But, you know, the reality is, you know, several studies that we've discussed on the air here before do show that medications like Ritalin, Adderall, Concerta tend to become less effective with time and, in fact, stop being effective within a 3-year window. And so you've got about, you know, if you do put your child on medication for ADHD, you got about 3 years to behaviorally and environmentally get that thing under control. Because if you don't teach your child the skills in that period of time, then you're going to be going bare once the medication stops.
And that's really a disadvantage for your child. It can be a nightmare for you, but a lifelong burden for your child. And so to use some of these techniques that we'll be discussing in just a few moments, either in complement with the medication so that as it begins to wear off, your child still has a whole armory of skills to tap into, or to use it instead of the medication if you don't think that medication is appropriate for your child. Well, we'll give you a whole bunch of those in just a few minutes.
And you can join the conversation here at 877-573-7825. Oh, also, at the end of the hour, we'll be joined by our film critic, Stephen Gridonis. He's the contributor to our Faith on Film segment, and he is the host of DecentFilms.com. He's going to be talking with us today about District 9. I did see this film, actually, last weekend. I took my older kids, and we went to
I was shocked! You came home liking this thing. I really expected you. And even our
awesome.
Oldest kid was like, oh, it's just going to be, you know, this kind of really obvious anti-apartheid movie.
No,
and
not at all. It was,
and
it was awesome.
And you were blown away. You
I was blown
away.
I have to say, I'll just throw my two cents out here. The language is really, really rough. So if, you know, if you have, you know, a sensitivity to that, or if you're concerned that your children might repeat that,
if your children
you
are not of
far,
an
far
age-appropriate level, but
yeah.
If it's something that you want to see or you feel that your children are of a maturity level where they can be exposed to that and still know how to handle it, it's every parent's prudential judgment.
Absolutely. But the movie
the
itself,
content of the movie,
I thought was fantastic and definitely Oscar-worthy stuff. So
we'll see what Stephen Gridonis thinks, and we'll see if he has further warnings for parents to help them decide who in the family, if anyone, this movie is appropriate for.
Although I have to say, we went to see it at a drive-in, which was extra fun. We don't get to do that very often. I don't think there are even really that many drive-ins left in the country.
There are a few throughout the country, and we're lucky enough to be in a town with one. So
it was fun. It was fun. Anyway, so we'll talk with Stephen later on about District 9. So we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
We've got to get started with our prayer in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to spend this time with you and all the good people who are tuning in right now. Lord, we ask your blessing on this hour that it would be a grace-filled time of blessing for all of those who are struggling in their marriage or with their kids or having a tough time in their personal lives. We ask you, Lord, to come more fully into all of our hearts that we might be filled up with the fire of your love. We ask you to fill our minds with the peace that surpasses all understanding so that we can hear your voice only and discern your will solely. We ask you to fill us with your grace so that you might strengthen us for the journey, that we might be able to take each step confidently, walking toward the destiny that you have for each and every one of us, a destiny that leads to perfection in you. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom.
Please, Mother, pray for us.
Well, we're going to be taking your calls in just a moment, also sharing several different complementary or alternative treatments to ADHD. But first, it's time for Living in the Word, where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. This week's Living in the Word comes to us from Psalm 34, verse 18. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress, he rescues them. I love this verse because it reminds us that God is faithful, that he is present, and that he does desire to deliver us from whatever pain, suffering, and difficulty we find ourselves in. The challenge in this verse, though, reminds us that we've got to strive to be just, regardless of our circumstances. It's so tempting to go to a place in our heads where we say, all right, all the problems are piling up, that gives me my get-out-of-being-just-free card, and I can now, you know, just do whatever I want to make myself feel better and pacify myself while God takes his sweet time to deliver me from whatever I'm going through. The Scripture says the Lord hears the cry of the just when the just cry out. And that doesn't mean that we earn deliverance from him. What it means is that when we strive to be just in our lives, when we strive to exemplify the virtue that we are called to by our life in Christ, we are able to participate in the grace that God gives us so that he can deliver us more efficiently and more effectively. So if you're going through a tough time, hang tough. Be virtuous. Cry out to the Lord and know that he is present and he will deliver you. Commit this verse to memory so that God's word can be a comfort to you in your time of need. Again, it's Psalm 34, verse 18. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress, he rescues them. Amen. And praise God for that, because we can all use some rescuing now and again. I'll tell you what, one place where parents especially feel the need for some rescue is when they are dealing with a child who is struggling with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. And going back to school, a lot of parents are either concerned about their children who have been diagnosed with ADHD being successful in the coming school year, or there are many other parents who are for the first time going to be hearing from their kids' teachers, have you had your kid checked for ADHD? Maybe you ought to talk to the pediatrician, right?
Because if you're sending your kid off and you haven't heard that before, there's a pretty good chance that sometime in the next 10 weeks or so, you might be hearing those words from a professional at your school.
Well, we've got 8 different ways to respond to ADHD that don't involve medication, and I just want to qualify some things first. You regular listeners of the program know that we tend to be fairly, not suspicious in any way. We're cynical about it, but we recognize that ADHD is a legitimate disorder, and many people do have it. But we do tend to be a little bit more picky about who gets the label, because while ADHD is a true and very real and very difficult brain disorder, it really does exist, and you really can see it. It is, I believe, frankly, very overdiagnosed, and because it's diagnosed by symptoms only, many of those symptoms can be mirrored by other disorders. So it's very, very important to get a competent differential diagnosis by a competent professional who has some specialization in ADHD. So just because your teacher says that your kid has it, or even a pediatrician says your kid may have it, that may not be enough, all right? Because there are many, many other things that go into this, and you definitely want to get a competent evaluation by a mental health professional who specializes in the treatment of ADHD. That's number one. One of the first things you need to know in trying to determine whether your child really has ADHD or not is that because ADHD is a very real difference in the way the child's brain works, or the adult's brain, if you have an adult ADHD, that problem is going to exist regardless of the context. It's like the sniffles or a cold. If you've got a cold, you have it all day. You know, if you just have all the symptoms of a cold when you are in your office or in your home, that's not a cold, that's an allergy. You see what I'm saying? It looks the same, but it's a different thing. If you've got an actual, disorder, you're going to have it all the time. So ADHD is something that will be present at both school and at home and with the kids' friends and in every other social context. It's not, if you've got a situation where the child is only exhibiting ADHD symptoms in school, it could very well be a mismatch between learning style and teaching style. It could be a behavior problem. It could be something else. But it's probably not ADHD. If your kid exhibits all the ADHD symptoms at home but not at school, that may be a behavior problem, that may be a family problem, that may be a something else problem, but it's probably not ADHD. You see what I'm saying? All right, so that's some, so those basic things to keep in mind. But let's say that your child is given that diagnosis of ADHD, and you're either trying to decide what to do instead of medication or what to do in addition to medication, because as we mentioned at the top of the program, several studies have shown that medication tends to wear off within 3 years of the child beginning to take it. So you've got a window there. Even in the most serious situations with ADHD, if you're treating it with medication, you've got a particular window to start ramping up these complementary treatments so that you can give the child the skills they need and the structure that's necessary for them to continue to grow. So let's take a look at number one. This is from a U.S. News and World Report study. Positive parenting is the number one suggestion for complementary or alternative treatment for ADHD.
And a lot of parents who are dealing with kids with ADHD just had their hearts sink through the floor because they're saying, do you know how hard it is to stay positive with an ADHD kid? Well, that's part of the problem. If you have an ADHD kid, you're more likely to reprimand more frequently. You're more likely to be a less supportive parent because, frankly, they're wearing you down pretty darn fast. So it takes some real focus, concentration, and purpose to use a more positive parenting approach where, hey, that was hard to say, where you really make sure that you're reinforcing the great behavior, using appropriate praise when things are going well with your child so that you're feeding the positive behavior more. Using a positive parenting approach is going to help that child understand what's expected of them and also give you a better perspective on the good times you're having with your kid.
So a positive parenting approach basically boils down to two things. One, working really hard to build rapport with the kid, getting that one-on-one time to build up relationship and investing your time into that relationship so the child really does know that you are working for their good and you really do love them, because you're going to have to correct them a lot and you need to make those deposits, the emotional bank account, so that you can make those withdrawals that allows you to make the corrections you need. And then secondly, teaching your child what to do instead of just yelling at them for what they didn't do. Because if you're not telling the child what to do, especially a kid with impulse control problems, which are common to ADHD, then you're not giving the child the skills they need to improve their behavior. You're only correcting the negative behavior, and not teaching them what they should do instead. Another technique, interesting, is neurofeedback. Now, neurofeedback, like biofeedback, has some people just a little suspicious because it sounds kind of new agey, you know. And some people of a certain age, you know, remember those biofeedback machines in malls where you'd put in your quarter and you'd get your readout. It was sort of like an astrological thing. Those were never biofeedback machines, by the way, and that has nothing to do with. I mean, it really, those kinds of things, or the sort of new agey understanding of biofeedback, has as much to do with actual biofeedback and particularly neurofeedback, as like astrology does with astronomy. They're entirely two different things. Neurofeedback is a technique for treating ADHD where there will be little electrodes that are attached to the child's head. Okay.
Like an EEG test.
Yeah, like an EEG test. And then there's a video game that the kids will play, for instance, where you have to kind of, by concentrating, by intentionally turning on different parts of your brain, you concentrate on keeping, for instance, a boat going down the middle of the river or a car going down the middle of the road. And, you know, if you don't concentrate, then the car starts to veer off to the left or the right, or the boat starts to veer off to the left or the right. You know, and so, you know, by learning how to turn on different parts of your brain through concentration, you begin to get control of the poor impulse control and the lack of focused attention that is often common with ADHD. So it's a very, very interesting, promising new treatment for ADHD that gives kids the skills they need to do the physical therapy on the brain that enables them to get that focus and attention that is so important. The next interesting emerging treatment for ADHD is called interactive metronome training, which is just basically working on keeping up rhythm. You know, so there will be it's another computer strategy where the computer will generate different beats and the child has to learn how to tap or clap according to those particular beats. And so by doing that and by learning how to keep in time, the child develops additional focus and attention.
Says it helps with motor control, it helps with reading and other skills. So really helping your body get into the proper rhythm, literally, with your surrounding sensory input is exactly what these kids really need help with.
Another very helpful complementary treatment for ADHD, prayer and meditation. Taking time for reflective prayer, teaching your child, for instance, a more meditative approach to the rosary or for some time to just be quiet with the Lord is really important and gives that skill that's necessary for focused attention and just quieting one's spirit.
Things like the rosary or the chaplet of divine mercy are actually wonderful for this, especially when done slowly and aloud, because you've got the focused, centered prayer meeting with something that has an actual rhythm to it. And again, gets that brain to integrate with a rhythm. Very important and a wonderful plus to being a Catholic.
A natural environment is really important for as far as a complementary treatment for ADHD goes. Being able to just get outside and play, you know, taking a 20-minute stroll in the park has been shown to significantly reduce ADHD symptoms. Turning off the television, you know, actually removing the television from the house reduces impulsivity by 25% in a week. Turn off the tube and go play outside. Better sleep is also an important way to treat ADHD. It turns out that up to 25% of kids who have been diagnosed with ADHD may not actually have ADHD, but may have some kind of a sleep disorder, like sleep apnea, which causes them to struggle with concentration during the waking hours. Make sure that your kid's sleep is being evaluated. Very important. Diet, of course, we all know is extraordinarily important for treating ADHD. The research is sort of contradictory on this. Sometimes they'll say, oh, sugar, it does impact attention and impulsivity. Other studies have said, no, it doesn't. But the truth is diet does affect children, and some more than others.
Especially omega-3 fatty acids are found to show a real improvement in kids who are struggling with ADHD symptoms. And Dr. William Sears has a new book out. I think it's The Healthiest Kid on the Block.
Yeah, where he talks about NDD, which is nutritional deficit disorder.
And now he's really found a great deal of success with the diet that he recommends in his book. So you can look at that for more details.
And the last recommendation is exercise. Again, building on the nature issue, the more you're able to get that child moving and working out all that impulsivity, the better off they're going to be. So get them moving, get them outdoors, and get them healthy. You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. We've been talking about alternative and complementary treatments for ADHD. If you've got some questions about a child who's struggling with impulse and concentration problems, we'd love to hear from you. Of course, if you want to take this in a completely different direction and talk about difficult marriage, family, or personal struggles that you are facing today, we'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address,
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Stick around, a whole lot more good stuff coming up with you, your questions, comments, and insights right after this.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Put on the full armor of God at the Spiritual Warfare Conference, Saturday, August 22nd at Sacred Heart Byzantine in Livonia. This conference features many talks from powerful speakers, all of them experts in the matter of spiritual warfare. For further details, call 866-738-1207. That's 866-738-1207. Men and women are needed to audition for Celine Area Players' fall production of Arsenic and Old Lace, Sunday, August 23rd and Monday, August 24th. The auditions will take place at the Old Calico Cat Building in Celine. Call 734-355-8898 or visit CelineAreaPlayers.com for more information. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Doesn't it make sense to let Catholics in your community know that your business operates with strong family and moral values? The Catholic Business Pages builds a bridge between your business and faithful consumers, serving the Catholic community with honesty, fairness, and trust. Take a stand and take a step of faith. List your business in a directory that stands for moral values. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Catholic Business Pages link.
990 WDEO Radio is brought to you today by our day sponsor, Connie Kansa. She'd like to offer this in memory of her dad, Arthur Huber, and his gift of the Catholic faith.
You can be a day sponsor, too. Would you like to send a salute to your parish priest? Say happy anniversary to your parents or spouse? You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength, I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Doesn't matter whether your questions are big or small or have to do with your kids or your spouse or your own difficulties getting out of your own way. We'd love to hear from you to help you find the peace, the joy, the love, and the sense of direction that you need to live that abundant life that Christ came to give to all of us. Pick up the phone and give us a call if you're struggling today at 877-573-7825. Once again, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. And right now, Greg, we're going to Texas to talk to Dorothy.
Hey, Dorothy. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. What can we do for you today?
Yes, sir. I was listening to your items about handling ADHD,
mm-hmm.
and I missed number 3. Could you please repeat that one?
We can try to do that.
I'm sure.
You.
Hang on.
That's positive parenting, number 1. Yeah. Neurofeedback, number 2. And number 3?
I don't remember. Hang on.
was it a metronome?
Yes. Interactive metronome training.
We're trying to find it for you now. It's off our screen at the moment.
Interactive metronome training. That's basically rhythm training, where there will be some kind of, usually they do it on a computer, where there'll be a computer beat or the flash of a light, and the child has to learn how to concentrate enough to keep rhythm. You know, musical instruments are another great way to do interactive metronome training. You know, if you teach a child to play piano or guitar or any other musical instrument for that matter, where there's coordination, where there's a need to focus, where there's a need to just kind of be still and really concentrate on, you know, producing a particular sound and keeping time. You know, that process is actually very, very good for kids who have impulse control problems and attention control issues. So, you know, those are all great ways to complement whatever additional treatments that folks are doing for ADHD. Dorothy, thanks so much for the call. I'm glad we were able to help you out with that information.
Obviously an important situation for her because she's writing them down. So there are a lot of people out there who really need these alternative treatments.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, it is a huge issue. And we know we get a lot of calls from parents who really don't want their children to be on medication or, you know, in more serious situations when the children need to be on medication, who don't want to keep their kids on any longer than they have to.
Or are dealing with the idea that it is wearing off. And now what? Because we are bombarded now, unfortunately, with the idea of the medical establishment is saying you've got 3 good years, and then it may not be fully effective or may wear off completely.
Now, while the article did focus on children and ADHD, I don't think there's any reason why these same sorts of techniques would be effective. Or would not be effective, rather, for adults. In other words, I think they would be effective for adults. Because, again, you know, with ADHD, what we're talking about is a brain that works differently than a non-ADHD brain. Right? And so in order to recover from ADHD, what you need to do essentially is physical therapy on your brain. You need to engage in those sort of concentration exercises and physical exercises that enable those different parts of your brain that are not firing the same way a non-ADHD brain would. And so by developing some of these skills, for instance, if you, you know, did some of this interactive metronome training by learning a musical instrument in adulthood, right? Or if you were to use the sort of positive approach to self-correction, we talk about positive parenting, but you could also do a positive approach to self-correction, because rather than giving into the self-recrimination that many people do whenever they're suffering with ADHD, then they can say, you know what, instead of just beating up on myself for having forgotten this deadline or, you know, dropped the ball in this area, I want to walk through what do I need to do the next time something like this comes up and actually map out a specific, concrete, step-by-step plan. You know, instead of saying, well, I just need to do better or I just need to get it done on time. Well, yeah, of course, but how will you do it? You know, how will you deal with the resistances that tend to come up that throw you off track or cause you to be late? You know, so having that positive, if you will, parenting plan for yourself would be a very important thing. You know, watching your own diet, watching your own exercise, making sure that you're not just sitting around watching television and playing video games. And I read a disturbing statistic the other day that said that guess what the average age for playing video games is?
Oh, it's going to be abominably low. I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm. Guess.
I have to guess.
Yeah. What's the average age for video game players?
Okay, so for the general market video game players, 9?
35.
What?
35. The average age of a video game player is 35.
Adults who are spending all their free time with video games.
I was blown away. I had no idea. I assumed it would be like, you know, maybe 12, 16, something. 35 is the average age of video game players. So, yeah, for adult
and
ADHD.
If that's the average age, that means you've got a huge population on either end of 35 to be your middle number.
Well, yeah, because you know how many kids are playing, right?
So we've got kids from, you know, 1 with all these Leapster and things now, all the way through to, you know, 115 who are all doing video games and you know, the mean average is 35.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
There's nobody not being touched by video gaming at some point, is what they're trying to tell us.
Right. Well, and my point is, essentially, that if you are struggling with adult ADHD, you know, you need to get off the video games, okay? You need to get off the television. You need to get outside. You need to do some activities that require real concentration.
And you got, I mean, we're the first to admit, you know, electronics are a part of our life. It's something that we try to limit. It's something that in our children's earlier years were limited a great deal. But the more information that's out there, the more we should all be taking a deep breath and thinking about, are we controlling this enough? Are there enough limits? Do we have to make the big break? I know that when all the TVs changed over to HD, that a lot of people lost their TVs. Among them are good friends, the Watkins, Rachel and Matt Watkins, who you can hear on our show every Friday. And going to cable or something like that, not in the budget right now for them. And they were thinking, this is going to be really hard. And you know what? She said it took about a week of, oh, I can't believe we don't have a TV anymore. Especially, she said, for her, because she really linked in that time in the morning with morning TV as the only adult time she had raising 11 kids, where she could kind of know what was going on in the world. She said, it's great now. She'll just get her news online. All the kids are reading books. The kids are actually getting along better than they ever have. They're all doing more creative things. It took it being yanked from her, and she never had a whole lot of this in her house. She just had, you know, the basic networks that came across on free TV, like we all used to have when we were little kids. But she said even that, being freed from that, has given the kids more time, more compassion for each other, more creativity. A little scary to make the break, though, because we all kind of use it as the babysitter or the pacifier for ourselves or the way to wind down, but it may have some real benefits for us all, not just in a family way, but for our own mental and concentrational health.
877-573-7825. Are you struggling with a personal issue or relationship problem that is holding you back from experiencing the joy that is yours? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. 1-877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Stick around. More with your questions, comments, and insights coming up right after this.
At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investing is far more than a numbers game. Investment performance is of utmost importance, and equally so are issues such as abortion and pornography. Chances are, these are important to you as well. To learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds' pro-life investing strategies and our investment results, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit www.avemariafunds.com. Ave Maria Mutual Funds can help you feel good about your investment decisions, smart investing, and Catholic values. Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at avemariafund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hello, this is Steve Ray with another Pilgrimage Minute. Jesus went on long pilgrimages, and he went on some short ones. He walked for a week up to Jerusalem, but he also spent many nights praying in the nearby mountains. I've been atop Mount Arbel looking over Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee, and I imagine Jesus up there on a short pilgrimage to pray. If Jesus thought time alone with the Father was important, how much more should we? Jesus asked his disciples to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He taught them to pray the Our Father on the Mount of Olives. He wants to teach us the same way. Jesus asks, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you live for the riches of the world?" Maybe it's time to slow down and climb the mountain. Maybe it's time to put priorities right. Start with a pilgrimage.
More information on taking a pilgrimage can be found at avemariaradio.net and look for the pilgrimage picture link on the homepage.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Are you struggling today to be everything that God wants you to be? You know, when you look at your life the way it should look, and then you look at your life and you see what it is. We're here for you. Pick up the phone, give us a call. We can bridge that gap and help you pull things together. 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Before we return to your calls, it's time once again for Letters from Home, where we take a brief look at the writings of a brother or a sister in the Lord who's gone before us as a way of encouraging us on our journey toward our heavenly home. Today's letter comes to us from St. Gregory the Great, who writes, "Be not anxious about what you have, but rather about what you are." St. Gregory the Great is reminding us of the importance of concentrating on our character, concentrating on who we are. And that's what this program's all about, on Heart, Mind, and Strength, helping us strengthen our hearts and be filled with the love of the Holy Spirit, helping us to find the peace that surpasses all understanding, strengthening ourselves so that we can win the race, can win that prize, and really become everything that God wants us to be. This is an hour of the day where we focus on becoming who we are instead of focusing on what we have and holding on to it. Pick up the phone, give us a call if you are struggling to become who God sees when he looks at you. 877-573-7825.
Right now, Greg, we're going to Elizabeth in Michigan.
Hey there, Elizabeth. Welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
Hi, guys. Just wanted to let you know, you were talking about the interactive metronome. And I'm a nurse, and I know probably a lot of lay people don't really understand what that is. But my son happened to go through the program with a wonderful Catholic woman here in Livonia, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And she has an office. I think her office is in Southfield, Michigan. But my son has never been diagnosed with ADHD, but was very, I think, had a hard time getting him to focus on his homework and just getting chores done at home.
So describe the process for people who might not be familiar with interactive metronome therapy for ADHD.
It is, like you say, it's something that they can do on the computer, and they're basically trying to get their brain to focus on a pattern and a rhythm. And it's kind of it's a very simple process, and they go through maybe, it may take a six-week course or an eight-week course. I can't recall how long my son did it. But he did it every night for about a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it helped him with his concentration for schooling, helped him with his focus. His grades were always fairly good, but I think it really helped him step up his grades where he got...
How long ago was this that your son did this technique?
It was in the beginning of the year, January, February.
I was going to say, honestly, before I'd read this article, I was not very familiar with it. I'd heard the term before, but I'd never known anybody to do it. And after reading the article, I did a little bit more research on it, and it sounds like a very interesting technique, and it's fairly new, so that's why I was curious when your son did it. But yeah, interactive metronome training is kind of an emerging treatment for a complementary treatment for ADHD that's just showing some real promise, and I'm glad to hear somebody who actually used this with their child and found some benefits from it. Elizabeth, thank you so much for calling in with your experience. I'm sure
you're
there are going to be many parents out there who will be looking for folks, practitioners in their area who will use this approach. And, you know, I believe that this technique is something that psychologists who specialize in ADHD treatment would employ, or other mental health professionals who do ADHD coaching, for instance, would use. It's something, I do think, based on what I've read, but, you know, if your child has any kind of musical aptitude, it's a very similar sort of a thing, that you're learning to keep time. You're learning to have focus and have rhythm and be able to deal with more complicated rhythms. And so, you know, being able to learn a musical instrument, you know, is a good thing. Now, if your kid isn't musically talented, and then being able to do something like this to just get better at concentration and coordination and self-control, a very positive thing. All right, 877-573-7825. Again, the toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. Right now, Greg, I have an email from Sandy in Texas. who writes, "Dear Dr. Greg and Lisa, first I'd like to thank you for your radio show and your service in the church that you do. We've been blessed by your talks in the past, and we're having a situation we're hoping you can help us with. My husband and I will be celebrating our one-year anniversary in September. We're also the proud parents of a six-week-old beautiful baby girl. My husband, luckily, and with God's grace, just started a great new job, and now I'm allowed to stay home with the new baby. We're very happy and very in love, and we know we're incredibly blessed. But we need some advice. All of these changes, the new job, the new baby, and even a fairly new marriage, has left us kind of wasted. My husband works very hard during the day and is exhausted when he comes home at night. I, of course, with a six-week-old, are equally exhausted while I try to keep up with the baby, the house, and very little sleep. I have to admit, I felt like he doesn't actually notice me or the things I try to do for him. For example, even though the baby's quite small, I always have dinner ready right when he gets home, and I make sure the baby doesn't wake him up at night. But I feel guilty for feeling that way, too. We've tried talking many nights, but it just doesn't seem to be productive communication. I feel lonely, and I don't want to pile any more burdens on my husband by complaining. But at the same time, I feel like he's becoming distant from me somehow, and he's even told me that he feels lost. It breaks my heart when he says that, and I don't quite know how to get us back together. I understand and sympathize with his tiredness, and he's a wonderful man. Could you give us some advice in practical and spiritual ways so that we don't lose our closeness and can regain what we've already lost? We're both Catholics. We practice NFP, and we're looking to the future, knowing it's going to get busier and more crazy as our family grows. I want to know how to stay close and connected with him through everything and how to do it joyfully. Thanks, Sandy in Texas."
All right, Sandy, thanks so much for the email. You know, there. First of all, you got to give yourselves a break because you've got a lot of new things going on, and it's going to take some time for the dust to settle. Having said that, I think approaching all this intentionally as opposed to just sort of letting life wash over you is going to be the key to making sure you don't lose each other as everything is just changing and growing all around you. The first thing that I would ask you to do is take a look at, you know, the rituals and routines that actually keep you together as a couple. You know, do you have regular meal times together? Do you have any kind of time to pray together? Do you carve out any sort of time to talk with each other or do, you know, special activities? I don't even necessarily mean date nights. Date nights are wonderful if you can get them. But with a small little one there, 6 weeks old, that's going to be difficult to do. But do you take time at home, you know, to either play a game together or work on a little project together or something that's meaningful to the two of you that brings you together? It's going to be the most important thing is creating a structure that protects the integrity of your relationship. Because when I'm working with couples who feel like they've lost each other, the first thing that they really reveal is missing from their lives is any kind of conscious attempt to talk to each other, conscious attempt to lay aside time that enables them to be with each other.
And conscious attempt doesn't mean, you know, at night, after you've finally gotten the baby down, when you're both barely able to keep your eyes open anymore. This is about setting aside time in the weekends, trying to do something when he first gets home at night. I know you have dinner on the table right away. That's great. Trying to talk over dinner if it's possible. If not, postpone dinner for 10 minutes and say every night for 10, 15 minutes we are going to talk and catch up and figure out what's going on in our days and what we both need from each other.
I have to say that, you know, how in life there are just some things that no matter how tired you are, they have to be done. This would be one of them, making sure that you're getting at least that 10 or 15 minutes a night to talk and pray with each other. So that's number one. I'd also like you to make a love list. Now, this is an exercise we describe in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, where we talk about both the husband and wife, independent of each other, sitting down and writing out a list of at least 25. Now, that's an arbitrary number, but we like to try to shoot for 25 so that you give each other as many choices as possible. But you come up with a list of at least 25 things that, when your mate does them for you, it makes you feel, on a gut level, loved or appreciated. These shouldn't be huge things that take a lot of time or energy or money, but just simple suggestions that, you know, when your mate goes that extra mile, it makes you feel special, whether that's, you know, taking the garbage out for you or, you know, doing the dishes when you didn't ask or making sure that, you know, your favorite ice cream's in the fridge or that they give you that call from work just to say I love you or
even
praying for
verbally
you.
Verbally saying at
you.
The end of the day, gee, honey, look at how much you've done during the day. Thanks a lot. You're noticing those things, putting it on the list.
What are those things that give you that kind of gut-level sense that says, ah, that was really nice. Thank you so much. You know, so if you generate that list, again, these are the things that your mate does for you, all right? Then you're going to exchange those lists, and the challenge to you then is to do at least one thing that's very easy on your mate's list, and one thing that's a little bit of a challenge. That's not to say that you should do anything that's morally offensive or personally demeaning, but sometimes you're going to find that there are things on your husband's list that are pushing you outside your comfort zone or, you know, yours on his. And so in those times, you want to make sure that you're trying to do at least one of those things that's a little bit of a stretch for you so that you are making the effort to stretch for each other a little bit every day.
The other thing I want to say is, be more open when you are talking about things. Don't be afraid of burdening him necessarily. The idea of you're doing certain things like having dinner on the table, making sure the baby doesn't wake him during the night, and he's not noticing, make sure you're telling him. Not in a nasty way, but say, honey, I really work hard because I know how tired and hungry you must be at the end of a day to have dinner on the table. It's sometimes really difficult with a brand new baby who needs to nurse every 10 minutes, and I don't really have two arms anymore to do anything, but it's important to me that you know that I'm thinking about you all day. So I make sure that dinner's on the table, even when it's a really rough thing for me to do. And it's really hard to be up all night with the baby, but I'm trying to make sure that you're getting your sleep because I know you have to get out there and function. Are there any other things that I could be doing to help? Are these things that are pleasing to you? Letting him know that you're making an effort instead of just waiting around to see if he'll notice. Maybe his mom always had dinner on the table, and he doesn't think it's that big a deal. Maybe he's sleeping through the night and doesn't realize that you're not. It's okay to very kindly let him know that you're trying to do these things to show him you love him, and asking what else you can do would definitely show him that.
But I think it's sweet that you're doing these things, but honestly, this might be a case of working hard but not working very smart. I mean, it's possible that you're expending a lot of energy doing things that really don't matter to him. You know, and so, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you knew that rather than making sure that the meal was on the table when he came home, that he would rather you do something else so that you could take a little extra time, maybe 5 or 10 minutes to yourself, or wait until he comes home to get things together on the table so that he can watch the baby, you know.
Or maybe you can just say, honey, you know, three nights a week, I can just bring something home from, you know, the drive-thru. It's not a problem. And then maybe we'll both have a little bit more energy at the end of the day. Or we can have a picnic outside with whatever I bring home. Simple things. A little bit more communication and openness will take you really far.
And Sandy, finally, the thing I'm going to suggest you do is to pick up a copy of For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, because there are many other suggestions in the book that will help you experience the fullness of your married life. Thanks for writing in. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. We're going to take a break right now. When Stephen Gridonis comes back, when we come back, Stephen Gridonis will be joining us, and he'll be back here too, to talk about the new film District 9. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Tom Lowy, Development Director at Ave Maria Radio. I talk about Catholic radio all the time, and it never ceases to amaze me when I hear people say that they didn't even know there was such a thing as Catholic radio. I'll bet you've heard that too. But that's not good. Something has to change if we want to get the word out about Ave Maria Radio. Now, believe me when I tell you, we can't afford to have fancy ad campaigns on TV or billboards on all the major intersections in town. But we do want people to know about Catholic radio. So, we have to get the word out the old-fashioned way. We have to tell a friend. You see, if we want to grow, we have to do it one listener at a time. That's the conventional way to success in radio. And you can help. And here's how. You can tell a friend about Catholic radio. It's as simple as that. Tell them that it's on 990 on the AM dial. Tell them that you listen to it and that you like it. Tell them about all the great programs that you hear on Ave Maria Radio. Tell them about Al Cresta and Teresa Tomeo and Father John Ricardo. Tell them that Catholic Radio changes lives. I know it changed mine. Right now, there are thousands of listeners who are tuned into this station. You're listening right now. If every one of our listeners were to tell two or three people each week, and if, say, only one of those three became a new listener, we'd see literally thousands of new listeners each week. And if that happened, Ave Maria Radio would grow. And by the grace of God, lives would be changed. And you can be a part of that change. If you'd like to help, start talking about it today. Let me know that you're willing to help. Send me an email by going to tellafriend@avemariaradio.net. Let me know your name, your phone number, your parish, and I'll get back to you with more information about how we can grow this station and change people's lives. That's tellafriend@avemariaradio.net. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with Stephen Gridonis, the host of DecentFilms.com and contributor to our Faith on Film segment here. And today, Stephen has his review of the new film District 9. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Greg. Hey, Lisa.
Great to have you with us, sir. Well, District 9, an alien feature taking place in Johannesburg, sort of an apartheid theme there as well, eh?
Well, there is certainly apartheid resonances, I think, to almost any film that's set in South Africa. And this film from director Neil Blomkamp is definitely no exception. Blomkamp is actually a Johannesburg expatriate. He and his family fled from South Africa due to rising crime when he was an adolescent, and I think that really made an impact on his psyche. He made this movie as a feature adaptation from a short that he actually directed, a six-minute film called Alive in Joburg, Johannesburg. The movie was produced by Peter Jackson, and it looks like it. It's fantastic.
The six-minute movie was produced by Peter Jackson?
No. Peter Jackson saw Alive in Joburg, and so he produced...
And then he produced this.
He produced District 9.
That's what I thought, yes.
Right,
okay.
As the feature film. But this film, District 9, although it certainly is influenced by apartheid, is as much about contemporary South Africa as anything. It's the legacy of apartheid is there, but you can also see echoes of more contemporary controversies, such as the influx of refugees from Zimbabwe who were resented and protested by the black South Africans because they would work for cheaper than they would. And so they're kind of a more contemporary parallel for the situation of the prawn, these aliens as in outer space aliens, extraterrestrials, who arrive in this gigantic mothership that just hovers over Johannesburg for decades, but who don't seem to be the movers and shakers on their planet. They're more like the grunt work. And South Africa assimilates them in a way that is disturbing and unpleasant, to say the least.
And that's what District 9 is. It's basically it's a refugee camp for all the aliens who were taken off the ship forcibly and now have been living in Johannesburg for 20 years. And it's the lead actor, it's his job to relocate these aliens to a place 200 miles away because everybody's sick of living in the shadow of this camp.
Yes, Multinational United, which is actually a private corporation that sort of combines the typical science fiction evil corporation with the United Nations, is hired to relocate all of these aliens, these prawn. This is a reference to a real-life incident that happened in South Africa in Cape Town in 1966. There was an area called District 6 that was declared an all-white zone, and 60,000 black South Africans were relocated. The main character, Vikas Fundamirva, plays this kind of clueless, not exactly white supremacist as much as human supremacist. And there's a subtext even to his name. Apparently, in South Africa, Fundamirva is a very common South African name, but it's also the butt of a whole series of South African jokes about clueless white supremacists. It's sort of the local equivalent of a Polish joke or a blonde joke or something like that. So his character is literally named Fundamirva after this whole series of jokes.
Well, that's fascinating. I didn't realize that. So let's. I mean, as far as the film goes, I mean, you know, it's aliens. There's a political drama. It's an action film. There are lots of different age groups that could be attracted to this film. Who do you think ought to be seeing this?
District 9 is a scathing satire that includes elements of sci-fi action adventure, of horror. It's a very violent film. It's extremely graphic in its violence. The alien weaponry just blows people into gooey pieces, and the F-bomb gets dropped constantly throughout the film, both in English and also in the alien dialect, which you get subtitled. They speak in a click language, which apparently has echoes of Bantu. So I would say that this is definitely a film for mature viewers, and even for many adults, District 9 is going to be a hard film to watch. But a film that really dramatizes, on the one hand, the really uncomfortable horror of man's inhumanity, not only to man, but to fellow creatures generally, and what we would be capable of. For Christians who are C.S. Lewis fans, this whole idea of aliens being oppressed by humans is not really something that's new or surprising. I mean, C.S. Lewis wrote about that decades ago. He talked about what would happen if humans ever encountered aliens, and he considered the possibility. He said, if they were weaker than us, I would hate to think what we would inflict on them. And this movie really just brings that possibility to life.
Yeah, my older son, who saw it with Greg this past weekend, said it's really an anti-hate movie more than an anti-apartheid movie or a political commentary in any particular group.
Stephen, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. If folks would like the full review to this and many other features, go to decentfilms.com and check out Stephen's resources, all there at decentfilms.com. Of course, we have the links to all of our contributors at our website as well at exceptionalmarriages.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, take our quizzes, and also find out more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling practice and many other resources to help you live a more joyful and abundant life. It's all there for you at exceptionalmarriages.com. We'll be here tomorrow taking your calls, responding to your questions, and sharing your insights. But until then, get out there and love the Lord.
With all your heart, mind, and strength.
God bless you, everybody.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
So I choose to love with my heart, mind, and strength. With your precious grace, everything I face, I will overcome with my heart.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Tomorrow, we observe the Queenship of Mary, acknowledging that the highest place that any creature holds in heaven is occupied by a woman and a mother. To be pro-life is to be pro-woman. And Mary, the Mother of God, is an example and inspiration for all women about how to embrace the vocation of motherhood, facing the unexpected and the unplanned with faith, courage, and joy. Mary sums up her life in one word, fiat, which means let it be done. That's what she said to the angel, who told her she would be the Mother of God. The pro-life movement is about helping mothers to say fiat, helping them to love the child within them and to make the sacrifices that child deserves from us all. Mary, our Queen, pray for all mothers. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Faced with dream-shattering infertility, many couples turn to in vitro fertilization without realizing the health risks and that some of their embryos may die. There's a better way revealed in the upcoming movie Tiger's Hope. Your support is needed to help infertile couples choose life. Call SWC Films toll-free at 877-606-1370 or visit